guys, welcome to another episode of From a Girl's Girl. We are on episode 4. Wow, this is really exciting. It's so exciting. Thank you so much for the reviews. I really appreciate the positive feedback. Thank you so much. I know the LGBTQI+ community listens to the podcast, and I just want to say that the pronouns I use are just pronouns I feel comfortable using. The podcast is for everyone except straight men, and no shade to them or anything like that. I just don't think anything I talk about on the podcast would benefit them in any way. On today's episode, I'll be talking about self-sabotage and how the attachment style you have influences your self-sabotage behavior. I recently launched an anxious attachment support group with the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG. SADAG is the largest mental health advocacy group in Africa. I used to work at SADAG as an online counselor when I was still counseling. Initially, I wanted the podcast to be about anxious attachment, but I realized that I don't know a lot about anxious attachment and the podcast would be too niche and I'm not an expert in attachment styles. Anyway, in episode 1, I spoke about how self-sabotage, negative self-talk, and self-doubt always find a way to creep in on you when you start working on yourself. When people hear the word self-sabotage, they think of something extreme and something that's really self-destructive, like harming yourself and all of that. But self-sabotage shows up in our lives every day. It can be you relapsing when you've decided that you're going to stop drinking. It can also be you entertaining toxic men when you are trying to do things differently. It's also you not sticking to your exercise schedule or diet plan. It's also you going back to your toxic mannerisms and behaviors when you are trying to be a better person. Self-sabotage is you not believing in yourself enough to go after what you want. And self-sabotage can also be you going out with your friends, spending money you should be saving. And it can also be you staying up late at night when you should be studying, or staying up late at night when you know you should be preparing for your next meeting or interview or whatever that you have going on. Self-sabotage is something that I struggled with for a long time. I would sabotage myself in relationships, and I would also sabotage myself by procrastinating. And I've noticed two things about self-sabotage. The first thing is that self-sabotage is driven by fear. Fear is the driving force behind self-sabotage. And two, self-sabotage gives you a false sense of control. Most of the time, we sabotage ourselves because we are scared of the unknown. So sabotaging ourselves gives us power to dictate or control the outcome of whatever we are sabotaging. So our thought process when we are sabotaging ourselves is, if I ruin things now before they take off, I won't have to deal with the rejection or disappointment later. And our thought process is based on the belief that we are going to fail. We'd rather sabotage ourselves and stay where it's comfortable instead of trying something new. One of the many reasons people self-sabotage is that they don't believe they deserve good things to happen to them, and they don't believe in their own greatness. I have heard a lot of people talk about how they have sabotaged work opportunities, work interviews, and relationships because they didn't think they were good enough. They sabotaged themselves because a little voice somewhere said to them they are not good enough or they don't deserve what is happening to them. And the thing is, how will you know if you are not good enough if you don't give yourself a chance to see things through? How will you know how great you are or how great you can become if you don't follow through with your plans? You will never know if you keep sabotaging yourself. The negative core beliefs developed in childhood are the main reason behind self-sabotage behavior. And in order to change these negative beliefs, you have to figure out what your triggers are, identify your patterns of self-sabotage, and change your behavior accordingly. The best way to reprogram your mind to learn new positive beliefs is by affirming yourself. And I know people underestimate the power of affirmations. I used to be one of those people. But you really start to see change in your life when you regularly affirm yourself. There are different ways you can affirm yourself. It doesn't always have to be in front of a mirror. I like to record my affirmations on my phone and play them to myself just before going to bed or when I'm warming up at the gym. I use positive recordings of my voice to override the negative beliefs I have, because the negative voice that creeps up as negative self-talk and self-doubt is my voice. So the best way to challenge that voice is to use my voice in a positive way. And this is just one of the ways I affirm myself. There are different ways you can affirm yourself. Just make sure the affirmations are coming from you, because affirmations hold more weight when you write them down yourself instead of getting them from an app, because the app doesn't know your triggers. Another thing about self-sabotage is that I have always thought that self-sabotage is the opposite of self-love, which is self-hatred. But I recently heard something that said self-sabotage is more of self-protection than self-hatred. Basically, what this means is that when we sabotage ourselves, we are protecting ourselves from change and potential harm. So our job is to figure out which part of ourselves is scared of change and why do we perceive change as harmful. This really changed my perspective on self-sabotage, and I now see self-sabotage differently. And I also show myself more compassion when I catch myself sabotaging myself. Because before, I used to be really angry at myself, I'd get upset and talk down on myself. Like I said, I've heard people talk about how they sabotage themselves at work and in their careers. And I think this is the worst area of your life to sabotage yourself, because some career and work opportunities only come once. And an opportunity missed now can be an opportunity missed forever. Yes, you might be young, you might be talented, or you might be great at what you do, but some opportunities only come once. Please don't let the negative beliefs you have about yourself hold you back from being great. Questioning why you is not going to work, because if not you, then who? Also, why would that great opportunity be presented to you if it's not for you? And why would you have that great idea you think about every single day if you are not the person chosen by God to see it through? Stop asking yourself why you, because if not you, then who? I have sabotaged a lot of potential relationships. I would ask myself, why does he like me? I don't even look like the girls on Instagram. Why would somebody like him like me? I would ask myself these questions but not act on them consciously, but subconsciously I would act on them. So I would start acting weird and start snooping, looking for evidence that he doesn't like me or that he's going to leave me. If I didn't find anything, I would create some sort of drama, and eventually the person will end up leaving me or stop pursuing me. Because insecurity is not attractive. No matter how beautiful, accomplished, or amazing you are, if you're insecure, you turn people off. In relationships, I would sabotage myself by constantly thinking that the person is going to leave me. So I would be hyper-vigilant of their behavior in the relationship. My thoughts and actions were coming from a place of insecurity. And when the guys eventually left me, I would sit and say, I was right, I knew you were going to leave me, or I knew you didn't like me. Them leaving me validated the thoughts I had. However, I was failing to realize that I had a hand in the relationship not working out. I've noticed that one of the reasons why people self-sabotage relationships is the type of attachment style they have. This is where my self-sabotage behavior comes from. Attachment is how you attach to other people, and attachment styles are developed through the emotional attachment we form with our primary caregivers in infancy. The emotional attachment influences our interpersonal relationships in life. In the previous episode, I spoke about how important it is for us women to take care of ourselves first and make ourselves happy, because the number one indicator whether children grow up to thrive in life is the happiness of their mother. In most cases, the mother is the primary caregiver. So the emotional attachment we developed as infants with our primary caregivers determines the type of attachment style we develop and influences the way we behave in romantic relationships. Sometimes attachment styles are also formed based on early relationship trauma. So if you experience a lot of trauma in one of your early relationships, that trauma from that experience or relationship might have developed some sort of attachment style. There are four attachment styles. I'm going to describe the characteristics of people with each attachment style in a relationship. Knowing which attachment style you have makes it easier to spot your self-sabotage tactics in relationships please don't use this to diagnose yourself and other people. Please, I beg you. The first attachment style is secure attachment. Someone with a secure attachment style is someone who knows how to communicate effectively. This person knows how to regulate their own emotions and feelings. They are comfortable with intimacy, they are trusting, and they are very compassionate. This is the ideal attachment style, and I like to joke and say that people with this attachment style are God's favorite because they don't struggle with insecurity. The other three attachment styles are considered insecure attachment styles. They are anxious attachment style, avoidant attachment style, and disorganized attachment style. Remember at the beginning of the podcast, I spoke about launching an anxious attachment style support group? I have an anxious attachment style. Well, I'm actively working on it and I'm now more secure. People with an anxious attachment style struggle to communicate their needs and wants in a relationship. They constantly need reassurance, approval, and attention from their partner. They have a strong desire for relationships and intimacy, and they have a tendency to put others first, and they don't take rejection and disapproval well. They also ignore red flags just to be in a relationship. They are overly jealous and get easily frustrated when their partner is unavailable or is not giving them attention. People with this attachment style are constantly worried that their partner is going to leave them, and their biggest insecurity is feeling like they are not good enough. That's why they need constant reassurance from their partners. Anxiously attached people don't mind calling their partners 100 times until they answer. One of the ways I like to explain anxious attachment is that your mood depends on how quick your partner texts you. And if your partner doesn't text you back or doesn't get back to you, you don't mind calling your partner 100 times. And the first thing you do when your partner finally picks up is accuse them of cheating. Anxiously attached people are also hypervigilant. Let's say your partner normally sleeps facing left, and on one random night he sleeps facing left. You pick this up as an anxiously attached person, and the minute you pick it up, you start to think, oh my goodness, he's facing right because he's about to leave me. Because anxiously attached people take everything personally. Anxiously attached people are often called needy or clingy by their partners because we constantly need to be reassured that the relationship is still going on and that you still love us and that you still care about us. From what I've described, you can tell that this attachment style is exhausting. That's why I started the support group. The second insecure attachment style is avoidant attachment. People with this attachment style appear to be very confident and self-sufficient, and they value professional success over personal relationships. They find it difficult to trust others, they avoid intimacy, and they are highly dismissive. And when I talk about intimacy, I'm not talking about sex. People with this attachment style panic when they sense they are getting closer to someone. And when they realize that they're getting close to someone, they pull back, they become dismissive, and they distance themselves. Doing this helps them stay in control. It gives them a sense of control. Avoidantly attached people are very successful in their careers and businesses. Something interesting about anxiously attached people and avoidantly attached people is that they attract each other. If you are anxiously attached and you're dating somebody who's avoidantly attached, you will lose your mind every single day. I promise you. It literally feels like you are losing your mind every single day. Because as somebody who is anxiously attached, all you want is to be wanted and loved, and you want connection and you want intimacy. But somebody who is avoidantly attached doesn't want any of those things. When I started healing my anxious attachment, I realized I was leaning towards avoidant attachment. So I was moving from being anxiously attached to becoming avoidantly attached. And this is another reason why I started the support group. Healing your attachment style is a journey. Unlike mental health disorders, you can't take medication to suppress or control how you attach to people. The only thing you can do is educate yourself on your attachment style, and you also need a lot of support around you. With the right therapist or coach, you can definitely jump from an insecure attachment style to a secure attachment style. I started the support group because as an anxiously attached person, your emotions can be so overwhelming, and most of the time, you're in your head, you're overthinking. After the first meeting of our support group, I was amazed at how people I have never met before in my life articulated my thoughts in a way only I could. I really underestimated the power of support groups. It's also funny how we've had the same experiences. The only thing that's different are the characters and the time frames. It's really so weird and funny. But the most beautiful thing about the support group is that it's so wonderful being surrounded by people who know how your mind works. It's the most beautiful thing. Moving on to the last insecure attachment style, which is disorganized attachment. This one is a mixture of both anxious attachment and avoidant attachment. Someone with this type of attachment style struggles regulating their emotions, and they have a strong fear of being hurt or rejected by loved ones. They have low self-agency and they often feel helpless in life. They also struggle with trusting other people and opening up, and they sometimes alternate between being clingy and dismissive. Knowing and understanding the different attachment styles makes it easier to understand your self-sabotage behavior in relationships. I know people look down on people with attachment issues, and you know what? We didn't choose the childhood trauma, it chose us. What are we supposed to do now? Going through life with attachment issues is not nice and it's not easy, because most of the time you are constantly in your head, you're overthinking, and a lot of things are just going on. I just want to say that you are not alone and there is a way to work around attachment issues. So the message today is that the best way to overcome self-sabotage is to be aware of your self-sabotage patterns. If you are aware, you can stop yourself from sabotaging yourself. When you are aware, you can also show yourself compassion when you catch yourself self-sabotaging or being negative towards yourself. Remember, you're only human and no one is perfect, and we learn as we go. And please stop asking yourself, why me? Because if not you, then who? Stop letting fear and being comfortable stand in the way of your greatness. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it helps you navigate self-negative talk and self-sabotage. Please follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram. The handle is From a Girl's Girl. It's just one word. Let me know how you work around self-sabotage or how you are working around your attachment issues if you have attachment issues. I would love to hear from you. Bye! I love you!